It is 19 minutes past eight. Members of the fishing industry will meet the minister responsible for the sector, Timmy Dooley, today as they face what they say will be their toughest year ever. Coastal communities are reeling after the EU Fisheries Council slashed mackerel quotas by 70% earlier this month, a huge blow to Ireland's most valuable catch. At the same time, four countries outside of the EU, Norway, the Faroe Islands, Iceland and the UK, signed an agreement together on mackerel catch limits, 72% higher than the recommended level. And more bad news for Irish fishers was compounded by the fact of the blocking of the Hague preferences, that is a crucial safeguard, which has been in place since 1976 and would have allowed Ireland a greater share of other fish stocks to compensate for the cut in the mackerel quota. Well, we can speak to, we'll be joined by Minister Timmy Dooley in a moment, but first we can speak to Brendan Byrne, CEO of the Irish Fish Processors and Exporters Association. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Justin.
Tell us what this 70% cut in the mackerel quota will mean for jobs in the fishing industry and for exports in 2026.
Well, it's going to lead to utter devastation. We're going to contract by 35% across all the sectors. It's a loss of 105 million euros in catches. To the sector I represent, is going to be a loss of 160 million euros for fish to process, to put to the markets. Potentially, we could lose 2,300 to 3,000 jobs. This is unprecedented in scale, and it's coming so soon after the quota transfers for Brexit, when we lost 26% of the values of our quotas in the previous 4 years to this. So we're now in an uncharted territory. There's no blueprint or template available for the seafood sector that deals with this scale of loss.
How long would it take Irish fishermen to catch the quota that they were allocated earlier this month?
Well, the quotas for 2026, it's feasible for any fisherman probably to catch them within 12 to 14 days. It's also a reality that the factories which I represent will process them in 2 to 3 weeks. When you compare and contrast that to 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the boats at sea would be out for 2 to 3 to 4 months, and factories would be working 4 to 6 months. So there's a massive contraction in scale of production and activity in the sector, resulting from both Brexit and the scientific advice for 2026.
So you're talking about boats really just being at sea for 2 to 3 weeks this coming year?
Yes, that's in all likelihood the scenario that we have. And when you look at that, we have 12% of the EU waters, 9 other EU member states are out there fishing. And if you take any other country that's out fishing, they're probably going to fish from 36 to 40 to 48 weeks in our waters. But yet the EU policies for the last 40 to 50 years have left us with so little of the quota, why they take so much of the quota. We, in 2026, will be lucky if we get 10% of the fish that will be caught in our own waters.
You'll be hearing directly from the minister today, and we'll be speaking with him in a moment. He's set up a task force to try and decide what to do next. What actions do you want him and the government to take now?
Well, first of all, we welcome the Seafood Task Force. It was an initiative of Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Tánaiste Simon Harris. So that's a welcome initiative. The task force must have two sole purposes. One, to support the sector having gone through the scale of loss and contraction that we will in 2026. That's important because there's 17,000 jobs here across the coastal communities. But it's equally as important, we need in this institutional and departmental reform right across the board for all matters marine. The failure is certainly part of EU policy. The EU policy has failed Ireland miserably, but we need also to look at how our own department is functioning, how our development agencies, our control enforcement agencies are functioning.
Why? What's the actual problem there? What problem is being faced by fishermen, and what reforms are you talking about?
Well, first, we have complete policy inflexibility. Historically, we've policies that just don't make sense. They're not practical. They don't work on the ground. They work against industry. We're regulated to a point of strangulation when you compare us to Denmark or Germany or France or Spain. So that has to be looked at. If we are on a level playing field and it's one common fishery policies, then the rules need to be applied equally across the board. You can't have one member state where policy is working against the industry, whereas other member states, it's supporting the industry. So as I see it, we have a twofold problem. We have the problem of the quota losses and the accumulative effects of the Brexit transfers, but we also have a domestic problem where we need to have an in-depth look at how the department functions, how all the agencies function, how the various policies are taking effect, either working or not working. So we need to have a fundamental deep dive and probe of how this sector is functioning.
Are you going to need financial support?
Well, any sector of the economy that loses 35% of its value in a 12-month period will need financial support. But don't underestimate the urgent need we have also for institutional and departmental reform.
Brendan Byrne, CEO of the Irish Fish Processors and Exporters Association, thank you for speaking with us this morning. Well, we're joined now by the Minister of State with Responsibility for Fisheries, Timmy Dooley. Minister, good morning.
Morning, Justin.
Minister, you came back from Brussels with a reduction of one third in the fish quota. The mackerel quota, which is our most valuable, is down 70%, and the safeguard of the Hague preferences was blocked. How did the negotiations in Brussels go so badly wrong?
Well, first of all, just to put a context on it, the reduction in the fish quotas is principally as a result of the scientific advice that there has been a very significant reduction in species across EU waters. So every country took a significant cut, including Ireland, and it was prorated across it. So the issue, or one of the really big issues, has been that there's been a level of overfishing for a number of years, as Brendan has identified, by Norway, the Faroes, and Iceland. That's now joined by the UK, which is outside the European Union. And they have taken a practice of setting unsustainable quotas for themselves over recent years, which has seen a very significant reduction in the stocks. So the decision that was taken at European level was to reduce the quotas to try to allow the stocks to rebuild so that we will have a future to our fishing industry, both in Ireland and across the EU.
But Minister, those countries that you speak about, the Faroes, Iceland, Norway and the UK, they will continue to fish in the waters, and they will continue to fish at levels above the quotas that are being enforced on Irish fishermen. So is there anything you can do about that?
Well, there is, and I have been pursuing it. There is a mechanism called the Unsustainable Fishing Regulation at EU level, which would impose significant restrictions on trade with those countries that set themselves unsustainable targets and unsustainable quotas. Now, that does require coordination at EU level, and I'm pushing on that as the government is as well. So we obviously have to get to a point where we bring these countries to heel. We have good trading relations with them in relation to other activities, but their behaviour in relation to overfishing is unacceptable and, in my view, has to stop. We can't have this continued business-as-usual approach where they continue to undermine the future viability of the fishing industry in Western waters.
And that's one element of what you're pursuing. But you heard Brendan Byrne there speak about institutional and departmental reform being required. He says there's policy and flexibility, and he says that the industry is regulated to a point of strangulation. Are you going to address those concerns?
Well, there are two aspects to the establishment of the task force. The first element of it will be to put in place a platform or a framework of supports to assist the fishing sector in dealing with the very significant cut in their fishing opportunities for the year ahead. And that's why I want to get this off the ground early in January and work with the industry, work with Brendan and his partners, stakeholders around the country. I was in Castletown Bear on Monday, met with some of the key players there, and we will work to try to put in place that framework. But in addition to that...
Do you accept what he's saying, though, that there are regulatory barriers for the Irish fishing industry, that they were, as he puts it, regulated to a point of strangulation, and that there needs to be policy changes within the department?
Well, Brendan and others have raised issues with me, which will form part of the discussions at the task force. For sure, there's a system in place that has been around for a very long time. The fishing industry has changed very significantly in the last 10 years, and more particularly in the last five as a result of Brexit. So we will have to develop policies that are more flexible to the needs of the fishing community, okay, whilst at the same time maintaining stringent regulation, which is an important part of our fisheries protection right across the European Union. But I do take the point that Brendan and others have made to me, that there are more flexible systems in other countries. We've got to look at those, and we cannot have a situation where Ireland is disadvantaged against its competitors at European level. And of course, the task force will address that.
All right.
And I would want to recognise too that I'm very thankful to Michael Berkeley, former chief executive of the IFA, who has taken on the arduous task of chairing this task force, and we'll be putting a team around him in the coming days to make that a success.
And what about finances then? Is there going to be a subsidy or some sort of a financial scheme put in place this year to make up for the 100 million euro which the fish producers say they're going to lose this year because of the drop in quotas?
Well, Brendan has outlined the scale of the economic impact of the conservation measures that have been put in place to protect the fish stocks. The industry cannot be expected to stand still in isolation while that conservation work is underway. So, of course, there will have to be a financial package in place. Now, we've got to be cautious and careful. I don't want to be a hostage to fortune here in promising something that can't be delivered, because there are state aid rules and EU rules that have to be complied with.
Will you have to get a dispensation from those state aid rules if you are going to try and help the industry with a financial package?
I think that will be part of it, but I think there's a series of measures that can be put in place, and that's really what the task force is being established to do, to work with the industry, because those that I meet within the industry on a regular basis have ideas and thoughts as to how we can support them. Obviously, that will have to be within state aid rules. The Taoiseach has made it very clear to me that if we need to get some deviation from some of the European rules, that we've got to push for that and work towards that. And there will be a whole of government approach in addressing that issue. So the government has made very clear commitments that they will work with the industry to protect it during this very difficult phase of the rebuilding of the fish stocks in our waters, to try to get back to a point where we have a viable fishing industry again. It's not just from the industry's perspective, it's about the coastal communities, it's about all the jobs that Brendan has identified that rely on that.
All right. Minister of State with Responsibility for Fisheries, Timmy Dooley, you'll be meeting those fishermen in Killybegs later on today. We'll watch the outcome of that meeting. But thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.